50. And we're answering common questions that Christians often ask. And this afternoon, the question is, that we'll try to answer, is, does God use evil for good? And we'll have to kind of reword the question so that it matches the answer that will come up all through this message, actually. Better way to say it would be, God works good in spite of evil. The evil is here. And if God's going to do anything, it's going to be within that resource of evil. God works in spite of evil. If God couldn't bring good out of evil times or evil circumstances, well, there wouldn't be a whole lot that God could do but just have Armageddon every day. Because there really isn't much good for God to work with because of the sin that's in this world. But here's the origin of the question here in Genesis chapter 50. And it's a great verse. Let's start in Genesis 50, verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today as we tackle this question about how you use people in this world to do good and to bring blessings into our lives and into this world, we pray, Lord, you'll help us to see and understand how you do things according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you know the story, and that's why our scripture reading today contained parts of it. You know the story, the background of Joseph's brethren is that they sold Joseph as a slave, and he ended up a slave in Egypt. And while he was down there, while Joseph was down there in Egypt, he ended up in the prison house, falsely charged, framed. His accusers were believed, and Joseph ended up in prison. But as God wrought, Joseph rose from the prison house to become the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. And then a great famine hit. And Joseph's brethren, his family, God's chosen nation, they were at the point of starvation and in desperate straits. And they came down to Egypt. They were looking for food. And guess who was in charge of the food distribution? Joseph was. And so Joseph's testimony to his brethren is, your intent was evil, and what you did was evil, but God wrought through that a very, very great thing and did a very wonderful thing. Now let's stay on that story for just a moment. God was able to do a wonderful thing out of those evil circumstances because Joseph stayed true to God. That's why. Had Joseph been embittered by what his brothers did to him, had Joseph become a violent man or a murderer during the time of his captivity, had Joseph been anything less than a model prisoner, he would have never been in a position for God to use him to bring good out of evil. So I'm not finding fault with the question. I'm just trying to answer very, very carefully. God wrought good out of good because a man was not overcome of the evil that was done unto him. I hope you understood that. Now let's cite some other examples here. When Israel ended up in captivity in Egypt, once they went down, they stayed down. The family that sold their brother into slavery, their entire family ended up in slavery. And yet this people to whom God would give all the land from the Nile River to the Euphrates and all the land from Mount Ararat way down to the tip of the Sinai Peninsula, there's no way a family, think about this, there is no way that a family could have driven out seven hostile tribes that had dwelt in that land since the time of the Tower of Babel. So the Lord takes that small family down into Egypt, and they begin to be protected because they were slaves. And the Egyptians, they fed them and they cared for them because they wanted more slaves. And they're in bondage 430 years. And by the time God delivers them from Egypt, there's almost 2 million of them. And they are now, 2 million. Now they're well able to drive out the Canaanites and take the promised land. Now, who would suggest that putting a family of people in slavery for centuries is a good thing? It's an evil thing, okay? And I don't care what side of some part of the world's history you think that you're on, you cannot justify slavery from the Bible. And if you think it's not a bad thing, okay, go to some Muslim country and become a slave. See how you like it. But God used the evil actions of the Egyptians to allow that family of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to become a great nation that was capable of taking the land of promise that God had given them. When it came time to leave that bondage and travel through that wilderness to the promised land, it was a law in Egypt that Hebrew babies be put to death, Hebrew boy babies. The Hebrews were multiplying too rapidly for Pharaoh's liking. Pharaoh, he was concerned. He said, well, we're going to lose our control of these people if there's too many of them. We have to kill their babies. If you're interested, you can do some research and find out that's exactly why Planned Parenthood, that organization in America, I don't know if they're anywhere else, but Planned Parenthood was founded on for that reason, to kill a certain race of babies so that there wouldn't be too many of them in American cities. It's amazing to me that people vote for a political party whose platform has long involved exterminating them. That's amazing. But that's all I'm going to say about that. Don't need to get into politics right now. You don't care about American politics anyway. But Moses' parents hid him, put him in a basket, floated him in a little ark down the river. Pharaoh's daughter came to bathe, and there was that little baby. Now listen, what an evil thing. Think about it. To have babies being murdered. What an evil thing for Moses' parents to have to give up their baby knowing that he's going to end up with the government that's murdering babies and become one of them. And yet God preserved that little boy's life so that one day he could stand in Pharaoh's court and look Pharaoh in the eye and say, God said, let my people go. Now in all of these cases, the Israelites in Egypt never became a nation of idolaters like Egypt was. In fact, the Bible says Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than to be part of Pharaoh's family. Now, so I'll say it again, God brings good out of good in spite of the evil. Okay, now it's time to take that promised land. There's a woman in Jericho. Okay, that's the first city that they need to take out. That woman, she's called the harlot Rahab. The harlot Rahab. Commentators, they don't like it. Preachers, they don't like it. Sunday school teachers, of course, they don't want to teach about her because it'd be kind of hard to explain to a child. Mommy, what's a harlot? But the Bible doesn't call her Rahab the ex-harlot. The Bible calls her Rahab the harlot. And there's nothing good about that. That is an evil practice. It's an evil trade. And often the harlot is far less evil than the person possessing and controlling the harlot. It's a terrible thing. When Jesus Christ comes back, well, that's all going to come to an end. That'll all be over and done. No more harlots. No more harlotry. But anyway, in that city is a woman, a fallen woman of deplorable character. You wouldn't want to be near her. But when the city of Jericho heard what God did to Egypt, the whole city was afraid of that God, the true and the living God. But Rahab acted upon that fear, and she believed that God was the true and the living God. And she said, okay, well, my life is a mess, but what can I do to help? And she hid those spies with peace. And now, I'm going to tell you something. Some of the best, think about this, some of the best witnesses for Jesus that you'll ever find are people who just got saved, whose lives are still kind of a mess. Some of you were far more dedicated to the Lord before you got sanctified and cleaned up like you are right now. And now you're all cleaned up and you're dressing right and you're living right and you wouldn't ever do this and you wouldn't ever do that and you also wouldn't pass out gospel tracts on the street. You wouldn't knock on doors either, will you? I tell you, there's something about that fire in the heart and that burning desire in the life to do something for Jesus that it often fades away after you've been saved for a while. And Rahab, we wouldn't point to Rahab as an example of how you ought to live your life, would we? But for this brief window of time, she said, I will risk my life to hide God's spies on my roof. And they came and asked her, the people of Jericho, they said, have you seen these spies? We saw them come in here. And she said, no, they came, but they left. And you say, well, she's lying then. Lying's not good. Yeah, well, like I said, her life is a mess. She's a mess. It's like that blind man in John chapter 9. He said, look, I can't answer any of the questions these guys are asking me. All I know is I was blind, Jesus gave me sight, and he's the best person I know. Amen. Amen. You know, some of you, bless your heart, you're all cleaned up now, and you pass muster. Praise God, it's a blessing. But some of you used to witness a lot more when you were still smoking. And some of you used to witness a lot more when you were still watching movies that you wouldn't watch now. Now, listen, I'm not recommending that you keep a bottle in your house or anything like that. I'm not saying go back to those ways. I'm telling you that God has often used people who were doing the best that they could, though they still had some evil in their life. That evil that he, of course, doesn't approve of. See, some of you, you're kind of nervous right now. So that you think I sound kind of liberal or something. I'm just being honest with you. It's a good thing to get sin out of your life, but it's also a good thing to have a bold witness and a desire to serve Jesus in your life. And I've just seen a lot of times that as people grow in righteousness, it seems like they decline in zeal and in fervor. And God used a woman whose life is evil. He used her to do some good because of the good that he found in her. Can we get by with that? If we can't, I guess we'll move on quickly to the next example here. Look in Acts chapter number 8. The book of Acts in chapter number 8. By the way, evil is not sin. Evil is the consequences of sin. Evil is the price people pay for doing the things that they shouldn't do, or living in a society doing things they shouldn't do. Acts chapter 8, Verse number 1. They have just martyred Stephen for preaching the gospel. Verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Which is a bad thing, because that's the only place the church was at this time. The only Christians on earth are those living in Jerusalem and those few that got saved on the day of Pentecost that came and visited, but they live somewhere else. The church is in Jerusalem, and the Bible says here, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Wouldn't it be a bad thing to get driven out of your city because you're a Christian and have to flee from your home, from your career, from your relatives, and everything you've ever known for generations and generations? And you got to run for your life to get out of town, to get far enough away that the people that are killing Christians in Jerusalem don't kill you. People always say, well, things have never been so bad as they are today. You're wrong. Things for you may have never been this bad, but things have been real bad for a long time. Okay, look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men, that's hauling men and women, committed them to prison. So he'd drag them out of their house, take them to prison. Now that's never happened in America, and I bet it never happened to you, but that's been happening all over the world for 2,000 years, that kind of thing. Somebody finds out you're a Christian and the authorities come, they kick down your door, haul you off to prison or worse. That's what's going on. Look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, persecuting the church is an evil thing. Putting Christians in prison and killing them, that's an evil thing. Driving people from their homes is an evil thing. You know what God did? He used the people that lost everything but their faith in him to take the gospel to new towns and new cities and new countries and to the ends of the world. When it's possible, they might have just lived and died in Jerusalem and let everybody else never have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ if that hadn't happened. Now, the evil government persecuted the Christians. What did God use to his good? Not the evil government. He used the people who didn't turn against God when they lost everything. So those who stayed good, God used them to do good in spite of the evil that they had suffered. You see the principle that's starting to develop here? Look in Acts chapter 9 now. Acts chapter 9, this very same Saul that is persecuting Christians, he's converted, as you know, on the Damascus Road. And the Lord is sending Ananias to minister to Saul in the first days of his conversion. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul got to witness to at least two kings. We find those in the book of Acts. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? He did so in chains. He was in chains when he did it. But think about that. Wouldn't it be awful to be arrested for preaching the gospel? Wouldn't it be awful to be put in prison for preaching the gospel? Wouldn't it be awful to be transported from one country to another in chains for preaching the gospel? And then Paul stood there in Acts 26 and he looked them right in the eye and gave him the gospel and said, I wish your life was just like mine, except for these chains. Now listen, it's an evil thing to put a man in chains for his beliefs. It's an evil thing to put a man in chains for the things that he holds true in his heart. He's a murderer. Now think about this. He was a murderer. He was the one murdering Christians. And he had government consent when he was doing that. Government was with him. Now he's a preacher of the gospel, and the government now wants to kill him. That's evil. That's evil. Now listen, God did not use that evil government. But when Paul got arrested and beaten and chained, he did not turn against God. So when he stood before the king, he didn't say, I'll do anything you ask, just let me go. He said, I'm staying true to my calling, and that is to preach the gospel. And so, in spite of the evil, God used a good man to do a good work, because the evil did not turn the man against the Lord. Do you see that? Paul said, I appealed to Caesar. They put him on a ship. And Paul says to the man running the shipping company, you shouldn't sail. You shouldn't sail. You're going to run into some really bad weather. It's the wrong time of the year. You need to stay right here. Be safe. But that guy said, man, I can beat this storm. I'll make a lot of money because none of the other ships are sailing. And so they went. They set sail. And a Mediterranean hurricane, they call it Euroclydon, it hit that ship, busted the thing all to pieces. Now, you try swimming ashore from a shipwreck, try it without chains. Now think about how they managed it with chains. It's scary enough. But anyway, so Paul, he gets on the island, and they're building a fire. And a serpent comes out of the fire, bites him on the hand. He just shakes it off, didn't hurt him at all. And those people, they wanted to worship him as a god. He said, I'm not a god, but I've got business to attend to in Rome. Now, I wouldn't want to get bitten by a serpent. I wouldn't want to be in a shipwreck. I wouldn't want to be in a prison ship with chains on. But anyway, he gets to Rome, and he's there 2 years in prison waiting to have his case heard before Caesar. No bail, no bond, no release program, no rights to a speedy trial. He's sitting there 2 years in jail for doing nothing wrong. That would turn a lot of inmates bitter, don't you think? That would turn a lot of people against God. I prayed every night, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this. God, let me at least see the king and have my day in court. For 2 years, God didn't answer that prayer. You know what Paul did? He led Bible studies in prison. You know what he did? He taught the word of God in prison. To Rome, where God built a church where there had never been one. Now, you know what? You know something? That man being in prison under those conditions, that was an evil thing. God didn't use the prison. God didn't use the chains. He used the man who stayed good in a bad situation. Is that making sense? When Paul finally stands before Caesar, he looks the ruler of the world. Come on, this is the Roman Empire. He looks the ruler of the Roman Empire right in the eye and preaches to him the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and doesn't get set free. They execute him. They kill him in that prison for no good reason. You know what that last chapter of the book of Philippians says? Before Paul died, he wrote a letter to the Philippians. He's greeting prominent members of the church, and he names some, and he says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." The church at Rome had saved people in it who were not singing praises to Caesar. They were singing praises to Jesus Christ, because Paul stayed good when some really, really evil things happened to him. How about that? And then, just briefly here, jumping way ahead, 7 years of great tribulation are coming on this earth. 7 years of great tribulation so that God can purify the remnant of Israel and clear away for his son to sit on the throne at Jerusalem and have peace on earth for 1,000 years. That great tribulation, it's an evil thing, but God will work it for good. All right, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. You know, our prayer list is always well populated with people having physical problems, emotional problems, family problems, mental problems. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Okay, now this applies to everybody here who's 20 years old and up. You are aware that your outward man is perishing. The eyes are going, the ears are going, the back is going, the digestive system is going, the mind is going. Something is breaking down. The more times you think about your car, the more miles you put on your car, the closer it is to the junkyard. That's right. Well, the more days you put on this body, the closer it is to the scrap heap. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. Nobody would deny that unless they were crazy. Okay, verse 17. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now again, sin in the body, death in the body, pain in the body, suffering in the body is evil. It is a result of Adam eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's evil. But if through your aches and pains and aging and slowing and hurting, you will stay true to God, God can use you all the days of your life in spite of all of these troubles and difficulties and evils. If you don't live for God, your body, it's still going to hurt. If you don't serve Jesus, you're still going to have aches and pains. If you live like a reprobate, your mind is going to go, just like everybody else. Well, guess what? If you serve the Lord, as long as you're in this body, the same thing's going to happen to you. But God can still use a good person suffering evil things in their body to accomplish good. I heard about a man when he was 90 years old. he was still out there on the street serving the Lord, walking with two canes and hands that were so afflicted with arthritis, he couldn't even grip those two canes. Just kind of balanced on them, I guess. And his fingers didn't work, so he had to balance his Bible on his arms. And he just, you know, he had to use a really thick magnifying glass to enlarge the words in his Bible because he was also nearly blind. And he would go out and preach to people. He'd go in nursing homes and with a smile on his face, and he told people about Jesus. Now, you know what? Loving the Lord did not stop the evil from happening to that man's body, but loving the Lord kept his heart from going bad. And God was still using that man for good in some very evil circumstances. Something evil had taken a toll on that old man's body, but it hadn't taken a toll on his heart. It hadn't taken a toll on his spirit. So God was still using him for good in spite of all of that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. Is it 2 Corinthians 5, 8? Yeah. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body. Okay? Well, that's a nice, sweet way of saying dead. I'm going to be absent from the body. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to take a little trip, float around the room or something like that? No, it's dead. Moved out, gone, bye-bye. Absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Most people would say, the worst thing that could happen to you is dying. Not if you're saved. Even that great evil ends up being a very good thing that God does for us by taking us from all the troubles that we've considered today, we've been talking about, and taking us to a place where there is no trouble. Praise the Lord. All right, under this same heading, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Do you want to be a good Christian? I'd like to be a good Christian. Hope you'd like to be one too. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Okay, that's an evil thing. Tribulations, plural. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All right, so think about this. If you're an unsaved person, you know what you have in this world? Tribulation. And you know what you benefit from that tribulation? Nothing. No benefit. You just had a bad time because you're a bad guy. Just a bunch of bad stuff happened to you because you're a bad lady, okay? But if you're saved, when the bad things happen to you, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, Christian fellowship teaches you how to be a better person. So God takes the day-to-day evils that happen to everyone and uses them to improve and to better our lives. Praise God. So the idea here is not that God, I mean, people say things like, do you think God used Adolf Hitler? Well, of course not. Do you think God uses murderers? No. But where there is goodness that abides, in spite of the evil that comes against the goodness, God can still bring about good. Good thing. So he's not asked us to fix the evil world. He's asked us to stay good even though we're in this evil world. He's not asked us to try and find some kind of a utopian life where nothing evil ever happens to us. That's impossible. You're not going to find that. But he asks us to prevent the evils that happen to us from making us evil. All right? Now keep your finger in Romans. We'll come right back to it. Go to Isaiah chapter 45 for a minute. Isaiah 45. Wonder who it was before Hitler, you know? I mean, we hear it all the time. Hitler, you know? Well, then who was it before Hitler? Who was the bad guy everybody pointed to? Well, you think anybody will ever take Hitler's place? I think they probably don't say Hitler in Cambodia. It's probably Pol Pot there. They probably don't say Hitler in China. There it's probably Chairman Mao Zedong. They probably don't say Hitler in Uganda. There it's probably the evil Idi Amin. I mean, if you want to know who the great mass murderers were in the last century, just look at who the college kids are wearing on their T-shirts. This world is getting weird. Can you imagine going $200,000 in debt to go to a college so you can be programmed to be that stupid, so stupid that you think communism is better than democracy? Somebody has to sit you down in a class and teach you to be that ignorant. I've never seen anybody wanting to move to any of those communist places. If communism, if you think it's such a utopia, why don't you go there? They need the laborers. All right, Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, watch, and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Okay, so maybe you're confused a little bit there. Here's what God said. You chunks of clay, if you want to fight with each other, okay, fight with each other. Go ahead. But you better not fight with me. If you're fighting with me, I'll send you darkness instead of light. I'll send you evil instead of good. As long as people are fighting with each other, God will help them if they want some help. And God will preserve them if they want to be preserved. He'll send the rain, he'll send the sunshine, he'll send the good days, he'll send the blessings. But if you turn and start fighting him, he said, I'll create some evil. That's right. It's a marvel to me that any Christian says, I just don't understand what's going on in America. How can you not understand what's going on in America? The American society has been fighting against God since the 1960s. Do you think he's not going to mix up a batch of evil for Americans and let them drink it? So when it comes from God, what are we supposed to do? Stay good and let God do some good things with our life and our church and our ministry in the midst of all the evil. All right, back in Romans chapter number 8. This is many people's favorite verse in the Bible. Many people like it because they like half of it without its context. It doesn't work, though, if you cut it in half. It doesn't work without the context. So here we go. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Okay, that's the part everybody likes. And we know that all things work together for good. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. You can't stop there. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All right, so listen. Joseph's betrayal and his sale by his brothers to a band of slave traders, that's not good. And if Joseph had not loved God, nothing good would have come of that. He would have lived and died a slave, and you'd have never heard of him again. The children of Israel going down there into Egypt, if they had just assimilated and become a bunch of idolaters and didn't stay in Goshen, the plagues would have hit them just like they hit the Egyptians. And no good would have come of it. It's to them that love God. If Rahab had not hung that scarlet thread out her window and stayed where those spies told her to stay, she'd have been dead just like everybody else in Jericho when they began persecuting those Christians in Jerusalem. If the Christians would have said, okay, we're sorry, we denied Jesus, can we just keep our jobs, keep our houses? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Look at verse 29 now. More context here. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Well, so what is God's purpose? For me to become just like Jesus Christ. What is God's purpose? For you to become just like Jesus Christ. If you will allow God to work toward that purpose, everything in your life will contribute to that purpose in a good way. If you get mad at God, you drop out of church, you quit reading the Bible, you start living after the flesh because something bad happened to you and you didn't like it, Romans 8:28 is no longer yours to claim. The purpose of God is making you like Jesus Christ. God makes us like Christ as we stay in love with him. So when the evil happens to you, and it will, the world is an evil place. If you stay in love with God, something good is going to come of it. That's the promise. If you turn against God, well, you're just one more person who has let yourself be overcome with evil. When the scripture commands us to be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's about you. It's not about your nation, it's not about the world, it's you. Don't let the evil that some family members did to you turn you from God. Don't let the evil that happened in a church problem turn you against God. Don't let the evil that happened on your job or in town turn you against God. If you will stay in love with God, God can take the evil and not turn the evil into a good thing, no, but continue to do good things in your life. Not because of the evil, but in spite of the evil. There was a preacher. He was sharing his heart with another preacher. He said, I raised my daughter the absolute best way I knew how, exactly by the Bible. And when she was 19, she turned her back on Jesus, she turned her back on us, and she went out into the world and spent most of her next 19 years in prison. And he said, and then after 19 years in church and 19 years in the depths of sin, she got saved. She got saved. And now the Lord has really changed her life. You remember the story about the man possessed with a devil and how Jesus came and changed his life so completely? That's what happened to this girl here, this lady. Her heart and her life, today you wouldn't recognize her. She's completely changed. She has a jail ministry. She goes into the jails now and she wins women to Jesus Christ. She's serving the Lord. She loves the Lord. Listen, had that woman not gotten saved, those 19 years in sin would just be 19 years of sin. Had she not fallen in love with Jesus, she'd spend the rest of her life probably in and out of prison. See, evil. Evil. But when she fell in love with God and devoted her life to his purpose, now God is taking all of those terrible evil experiences and allowing her to use them to rescue other women from the life that she lived. You understand the principle? There's nothing good about what she did. There's nothing good about what happened to her. But if you love God and if you devote yourself to God's purpose, now he can take something good and produce something good in spite of the evil. Do you see that? Most everybody here has had some really tough blows. Some terrible things have happened to you in your life, and you're here because you love God. Somebody sitting here, you may be next. You might get blindsided by some evil. And you'll say, I never saw that coming. I never thought God would let that happen to me. Well, he did. But here's the question. Are you going to remain against evil? Or are you going to turn against God? If you stay true to God, God can use a good Christian to accomplish good things, even though something very evil has happened to them. Looks to me like that's the principle in the Bible. God is not for evil. Evil is what happens when sin does what sin does. God is for good, and God wants us to stay good when evil things happen and let good come of it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, Lord, help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for revealing to us how even in the evil world, we can stay true, we can stay good, and you can use that good for your purposes and to bring about good to others. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to keep this in mind so that when we're faced with some kind of evil, some tribulation in our life, you'll help us to remember that we need to continue to love you, to stay true to you, to keep ourselves devoted to the reading of your word, keep ourselves on our knees in fellowship with you, stay in church in the fellowship of other people so that we can continue to do good or to enable you to use us for good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.